I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And I'm back for the final day of Forbidden Worlds for my Patreon exclusively. Day 4 of Forbidden Worlds, the last day of Forbidden Worlds. And guys, just as good as all the other days. Big fucking shocker there. It was brilliant. People are brilliant. Some great talks introducing the films. There were some, surprise introductions again from people from far, far away involved with the films. Another absolute banger of a day. I will just go into it straight away. I'm just going to get started, but again, I have to say, wonderful people again, wonderful event. All the stalls and everybody involved, every company got involved, every creator, every guest, everybody was on top form, and yeah, it was really, really fun. It, like, tiring, obviously, like, that's a lot of hours. Like, I saw 15 out of 17 films, and there's not much kind of downtime in between, but it's a good tired, it's a good experience, it's positive, and everybody there is having a fucking great time, whether they've seen movies or not. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. I have to say, the first film, so let's go through all the films on the last day. So we had The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. I have not really seen as many Ray Harryhausen films as I'd like to have. I have bought a couple. I bought the other Sinbad movies the other day on Blu-ray. So I'm going to check those out eventually, maybe do a podcast on them. Who fucking knows? Whatever. It'll happen. But yeah, we'll start there. So Ray Harryhausen's daughter and the Ray Harryhausen Foundation. I want to say the other guy was Colin Meaney or Russell Meaney. I can't remember his name. I feel so awful. I should know it. But yeah, he was there and he was, again, top form, and hearing the life and the legacy that Ray Harryhausen has on cinema and what it means to him and who he was and all the fans, the honorary Oscar he received, the Lifetime Achievement, you know, that's all this kind of wonderful, wonderful kind of stuff that people appreciate what he's done and how it's influenced so many people. Like, we wouldn't have the CG characters that we do now, arguably, without initially that imagination, that burst of his kind of stop motion and his dinorama or dinovision, I think it was, but whatever technique he used, where it was just literally him in a workshop. It was dirt cheap, time consuming, dirt cheap, and he got the results that everybody wants, and he was able to craft it as an artist. And a lot of the films were based around these premises they'd come up with, or this artwork they'd design and say, look, I can create this, I can make this a thing. And that's what you're there for when you're watching this film. You're there for the stop motion and the special effects. And again, obviously they've dated now a little bit, but they're still pretty kind of good, you know, especially with King Kong and stuff. The effects are good in their own way, not as janky as you might think. And yeah, the story itself is pretty standard kind of fare. Sinbad is Sinbad, sailor. Is a princess. There's an evil wizard. Kind of your fairy, you know, your fairy tales, your fantasy films. It's very much in that thing. Lots of crazy creatures, magic, and wonderful kind of imagery and costumes. Is it the best scripted film of all time? No. Is it dated? Yes, I would say a lot of white people have maybe shouldn't be playing these characters in this day and age. But again, we're talking 65 years ago. So again, you've got to cut it some slack. And it was introduced by one of the head people involved in Forbidden Worlds. And yeah, it's a fun film. It's one of the better films I saw that day as well. Like, it was fun. It's silly. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's swashbuckling adventure and it's fantastic. But yeah, the importance of this film is not to be understated. It is an incredibly formulative in a lot of young minds when they saw it at the time. And then, you know, all of Ray Harryhausen's work, and he did Jason the Argonaut straight after that, which is the one everyone thinks of. And again, he fights a skeleton Sinbad in this. So if you don't have this, you don't really get to Jason and the Argonauts. And you don't get to all of his other wonderful work as well, Clash of the Titans and other stuff, all that wonderful kind of mythology stuff he did, and all the Monster Attack films he did before then. You know, they're all the kaiju films he did. You don't get those. You don't get Independence Day without Ray Harryhausen, because he, all of his, you know, 50s, you know, Monster Attack City films, kaiju films, all had like a major landmark being destroyed. So, you know, his influence, it can't be matched really in regards to cinema and special effects, and, you know, Phil Tippett as well, which I'm going to talk about a little later, and all the kind of work that has gone into all this kind of you know, makeup and techniques we use just to create these wonderful creatures and characters and immortalize them on film in so many ways. So yeah, and again, stop motion works. Like, even RoboCop has stop motion, and I, you know, again, Phil Tippett, you know, I don't mind stop motion. At least something's there. It's physical. You know, as good as the CG is, will it be as good as something that is actually really there? Don't think so. So got to give it props for that. But yeah, it's fun. It's lighthearted. You don't take it too seriously, because the villain is obviously the villain, and it's very silly and very theatrical, but it's meant for kids. It is designed for kids. And it does all the things a kids movie would do, and entertaining. You know, it never lets up for a minute. It's all very action packed all of the time. Again, there's not much of a story necessarily, but there's enough to carry you through those set pieces, those kind of monster action set pieces. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I like it. I like it. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, you know, it's one of those where it's kind of like, okay, you know, it's not perfect by any means, but there are definitely worse films out there. But the reason you're there is for, again, with King Kong, it was the same with King Kong. Like, is the acting all great? Is, you know, is the story all there? No, but it does enough that it keeps your interest. It's never boring, which is the worst crime for any film, I think. It's never, ever boring. So it certainly has that anyway. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And hearing Vanessa talk about her dad and the special memories and her being on the set of The Valley of Guanji and, you know, all those kind of films and those moments that was special between her and her dad, and the kind of seeing these family photos, seeing the side of Ray that nobody knows or that nobody else has kind of appreciated necessarily. They just see the creatures, but they don't necessarily see, you know, the family man. So or the fanboy, where he meets, like, he met right Faye Ray and all these other kind of character, these people that he was huge fans of, because that was like his pinup girl back in the day. And yeah, it was a lovely film, and it was nice. It was a very unique opportunity to have the Ray Harryhausen and I want to say Diana Harryhausen. I forget now. It's been a long day at work, I'll be honest. My dopamine level has absolutely dropped off. I've had a really fucking tough day back at work after having a wonderful yet tiring weekend. So I'm trying my best here. But yeah, really, really fun. I'd check it out if you can find a copy of it or download it. Or it's a fun film, and it was good to see it with an audience. I think there were a few kind of cynical laughs and stuff, and you know, things haven't you know, aged as well, like we've said, kind of some of the feminist stuff, or the, you know, the browning up, I would say, or the heavily tanning look of some of the characters, and like, is a bit okay, you know, the whitest Arabian you've ever seen, the whitest Sinbad you've ever seen. But yes, they followed that up with probably my least favorite film of the day, which was Invaders from Mars. So Invaders from Mars, it was introduced by the young boy who's in the film. So it's a 1950s film. I don't know if maybe they could have placed that, I don't know, somewhere else in the lineup. I don't know. But again, I don't program these. But it was just, I think Sinbad was good and this was just not. It's kind of Invasion of the Body Snatchers a little bit, because these aliens come down, nobody believes this kid, people are being brainwashed and having things implanted into their skulls where they're acting differently. It's that whole like commie smasher Atomic Age Red Scare stuff that's going on, which is fine, it does work on occasion. But I did feel like this was like the kids' Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, it's got the little boy and the aliens aren't really that threatening. You can clearly see like the zippers on the back of the costumes, and the way the characters move isn't very menacing. Or I'll be honest, I didn't even like the remake. I actually saw the remake first. I wasn't massively keen on that. So it's not. It's the, you know, and the remake was by Toby Hooper, and I was like, oh, this might be all right then. But it's the same thing, and I think they play a bit more on the Invasion of the Body Snatchers element in that. But I will say it never lets up for a minute, and it doesn't waste any time, and they kind of just crack on with the story. But again, I didn't think the acting was all that great. I think the story was very just staid and boring and dull. The designs for the aliens weren't that interesting. It didn't work for me on any level. I can understand why kids would like it, like if you see it very young and you hadn't seen anything like that before. But I think if you show this to a kid nowadays, they would be bored to tears. I think even I was struggling. I was like towards the end there's kind of like a recap, and it's bloody kind of formulaic, because the kid is like, oh, it was all a dream, oh no, and then after that the event of the film starts, so it's kind of like, oh, it's a dream, but it's not, it's a premonition, oh, you know. But yeah, it just wasn't for me. It was a lot of army men running around not doing very much. The humans, when they are taken over by the aliens, aren't very fucking useful. I don't know, it's weirdly, like, it's colourful. It's another 4K restoration as well. So, you know, wonderful job at that, because it does look good. Visually, it is stunning. It's arresting. The colours are very vibrant. I really enjoyed that about it, the visuals. But almost everything else just fell apart for me. And the fact I was hoping that it was going to be much better because it was the original as opposed to the remake, which I'd already seen. But I will say the remake does have interesting alien designs, like they look good. It's pure like 80s kind of, you know, special effects. So I do appreciate that. But yeah, the special effects in this, you know, not great. I wouldn't say it's as bad as something like Plan 9 or something, but it's not in. I think some people have a fondness for this, like clearly Toby Hooper did, who wouldn't have remade it, and, you know, some other companies and people and artists, I'm sure. Again, you catch this at the right age, then it's going to capture your imagination. But, you know, I'm 35 now, and with some films I can appreciate, you know, how good they are and what they're about. And look back and kind of appreciate them in a kind of retroactive way, in a sense. But yeah, not the. I mean, it may even be the worst thing I saw out of the whole weekend. Yeah, it was definitely the worst thing I saw out of the whole weekend. Even Prey had something going for it, as cheesy and as weird as it was. Dolls have something going for it, even though I didn't watch that. Probably my least favorite, my second least favorite is probably Heroic Trio. But even that has a lot of kind of amazing, you know, special effects and Hong Kong kind of martial arts and stuff. So yeah, probably my least favorite of the entire weekend. But yeah, so it was cool that they got the original kid to introduce it. I thought that was really nice. Really a cool little thing as well. Yes, next up. So it's the end of the Michelle Yeoh trilogy. We had Royal Warriors, which I adored. Heroic Trio, which I thought was okay. And then we have Police Story 3, Super Cop. So she shares this screen with Jackie Chan and Maggie Cheung, who is also in Heroic Trio. And this movie is ace. It is funny. The action is amazing. The Super Cop in question has to be Michelle Yeoh. It's presented like, oh, Jackie Chan is this super cop, you know, it's kind of a joke that he's this super cop, but actually when you're watching the film you're like, I think Michelle Yeoh could have just sorted this all herself. I don't think Jackie Chan actually needed to be there. And yeah, some great sequences, great gunplay, great comedy, great martial arts. Like the crowd absolutely love this one. Like you know, this and a few other the films, like Cliffhanger was a big one as well that did really well. The crowd love that. Even those young boys I mentioned, you know, they dug it for a 90s movie. But yeah, this was a banger, and that end stunt sequence is fucking incredible, and it's insane as well. It involves a train and a helicopter, and you know for a fact, and they show outtakes at the end of the film, and people are like, Michelle Yeoh falls off of a moving car, and Jackie Chan almost like gets hit by a sign on the side of the train, and it's really, and everyone's like, oh, it's not like, it's kind of funny, but also like, oh, fucking hell, that was so close. You almost died, Jackie. You know, he's hanging from a helicopter and everything. But yeah, again, the story is interesting enough. They're going undercover. They have to kind of, you know, they're trying to work out. I'll be honest, at this point, I did think about dropping this film, not because for no reason other than I was really fucking tired. I'd not slept very well the night before, so I'd not eaten much, and I was like, fuck, I'm not sure if I'm gonna make this, because I was literally nodding off the first like 30-40 minutes where they're doing all the plot based stuff. But I'll be honest, I got my second wind halfway through this film, so I'm absolutely so glad I stayed. I would have been really annoyed if I'd come home, watched that, and gone, fuck, I could have watched it on screen, on the big screen. Why the fuck didn't I watch it? But it was genius. Interestingly enough, they had an actual celebrity in the audience. It's Nida Manzoor of We Are Lady Parts and Polite Society. She introduced it herself. She came in, and she lives in Bristol now, and it was amazing. She was like, yeah, Michelle Yeoh inspires me, inspires my films, and yeah, and this is one of her best, and yeah. Amazing. So yeah, it was cool that she, you know, managed to kind of come down and say all that cool stuff. But yeah, absolutely insanely good. All like Royal Warriors and Police Story are absolutely now two of my new favorites. I fucking love them. I really bloody love them. And Michelle Yeoh is a massive part of both of those films. And you can just see why, that she's such an amazing screen presence, and her physicality and the way she moves. And yeah, and just, it's all just amazing. So I'm so glad they picked so many Michelle Yeoh films to show, because that was arguably the best part of this festival, I have to say. I think again, stuff I hadn't seen before bowled me over. Again, Heroic Trio, it's okay, it's fine, not great, but it's watchable. So yeah, wonderful film. Again, Jackie Chan's always good, the humor's always good, the, you know, his Police Story films tend to be a little bit more on the serious side, a little slightly darker and a bit more like slightly less Jackie Chan-esque Buster Keaton comedy, you know, the Chaplin stuff. But yeah, like but there is quite a lot of comedy, I would say, in this. But again, it still takes itself seriously. There's women being shot up with heroin and stuff, so it's like, fucking hell. And, you know, there's a lot of peril there as well. It's still taken seriously, but the comedy is welcome when it's there, and it's funny when it's there. And again, it works no matter where you're from. Like, the comedy is kind of that classic style that's kind of universal. And even with the subtitles, people were pissing themselves, you know, with the way that they kind of talk to each other, and the humor and the interplay between Michelle Yeoh and Jackie Chan is wonderful. A wonderful pairing on screen. And they even showed the watch commercial. I think it was like a Casio watch commercial. They both were in, so it was the first time they'd worked together was on this commercial, so it's quite funny to see that, and then we see this film, yeah, bizarre, but they have it, and loads of people do weird commercials, don't they, even Sly Stallone. But the penultimate film was John Carpenter's Assault on Precinct 13, another restoration for 4K restoration. And not only that, John Carpenter introduced himself. I mean, he didn't stick around for long. I think it was an introduction of 30 seconds, unlike Rennie Harlan, who went on for about 10 minutes. But, you know, the fact that he even bothered to say, hey, thank you, appreciate it. You know, he's a busy man. He's working on music with his sons, and you know, or he's got a lot on. He's a busy man. He's popular. I'm sure he's making money hand over fist now. Maybe not back in the day when he made that, but now he's, you know, he's doing concerts, whatever. So the fact that he took 5 minutes out of his day, you know, to do that, you know, I don't feel like he's not a man I imagine has a lot of patience. So the fact that he still took 30 seconds to do that was amazing and really, really cool. So yeah, I'd seen Assault on Precinct 13 quite recently, but I don't think I was in the right mood for it, or in the right vibe, or I don't know, maybe I was looking at my phone too much, I don't know, maybe I was in a bad mood, I'm not entirely sure, but I just couldn't get on board with the film first. I watched the whole thing, but it was fine. I don't remember it being anything great, but I watched it this time, and watching it with an audience as well, and in a different locale, and you know, on an IMAX screen, it really is effective as a siege film. It's a goddamn siege, you know, he says it in the film, and it's really effective. The score is really good. I know it's been sampled in loads of different kind of rap music and hip hop and things like that. There was even the introduction was even by the, I think it's the Bristol Black Horror Film Society or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm following them on Twitter. So if you go and see them following, you'll see them. But yeah, he had a really in-depth, real social, political thing about, you know, how he grew up, how he's introduced to this film, and his father introduced him to blaxploitation films and the like, and how important they were for him and in society, and what they were trying to say, these films. And this film definitely has a lot to say about the way the world is run, and again, things haven't really changed, unfortunately. They're kind of still the same. The way that they're, you know, downsizing and moving funds, closing things down, things don't work properly, you know. The people in, you know, the people are, the criminals are absolutely bloodthirsty. It's very much a 70s film, like, you know, crime's on the rise, and you know, the economy's in a bad place, you know. And again, all very relatable to today. Nothing has changed. John Carpenter's films are even more relevant than they already were, even now. So yeah, there's a lot of deliberate choices in this film, but it works. Like, it absolutely works. The prisoner, Napoleon, who is a fascinating character. I think they're all these characters have got. Most of them have some depth to them, and some, you know, something about this, and the fact that these people, these kind of ragtag group of people, are defending this one guy who kind of must be in shock or something, because he's in an absolute way, and I don't know if he has any medical problems or anything, but he survives the day, and they manage to save him and stop the criminals from, you know, killing everybody, and then spoilers, they most of them survive, but it's all right. Like, it's really effective kind of, and you can see where the Halloween influence is going to come in as well, but you can also see where the Escape from New York influence is coming. You can see it kind of, he's getting there. He's getting to those points. Like, just, you can see the, like, especially the music and some of the jump scares, and where there's a moment where a guy gets in his car and there's one of the criminals appears from behind him, which is really effective. Like, the acting's really good, the cast. A lot of Halloween regulars and John Carpenter regulars are in there, Nancy Loomis as well. But yeah, brilliant. A lot of interesting stuff. You know, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I've now have a new appreciation, because all of the audience was so drawn in. Like, it was so, like, you could hear a pin drop. Like, some of the, like, really fucking tense moments. And like the gunfire and the use of the silences is really cool as well. Like, a really interesting idea. But yeah, another absolutely fantastic film. I'm so glad, again, I watched, like, of all the days, you know, I've done I've done 4 days of the festival. And I have to say, And it went so quick, but it also felt like I was there for a significant amount of time at the same time. But again, in a good way. It was really quite fascinating. And then the final film of the day was Starship Troopers. One I absolutely love. I've seen it a million times. I'm a big Paul Verhoeven fan. I love all of his political satire. And this one is absolutely rife with political satire. And that's why I think it's brilliant. That's why I love it. You know, it's the same writer as RoboCop, so they reunite. You've got Phil Tippett working on the CGI and the creatures themselves, and Phil Tippett introduced it as well, who's, you know, of Mad God fame and Jurassic Park and RoboCop 2, you know, just brilliant man who, and we got to see one of his pieces of early work. He basically wanted to put dinosaurs to rest, so after Return of the Jedi he decided to make his own little stop motion short film with dinosaurs in them, and it's pretty good, you know, it's good, like, it's fun, it's, you know, it's only about 5 minutes or so. It's like a Triceratops versus a T-Rex kind of thing. But yeah, looks great, and it was nice to see. It was a nice little, I think they described it as a curio, and I would say, yeah, it's a cool little thing. But yeah, Phil Tippett introduced it again, really cool, you know, didn't have to, you know, but they've asked him, and they were so nice about it, celebrating him and his career and all these other, Stan Winston and all the other people, that, you know, Ray Harryhausen as well. It just has all these three different, the Video Shop Archives and the Creature Creators, and the Michelle Yeoh stuff. It just adds a nice mix, a nice variety to the proceedings. So yeah, I loved it, and I think they should, you know, do that every year. They probably will, I don't know. But some excellent stuff, just all around, just great job. You know, all the people that were there were lovely, and I didn't meet anybody I actively disliked. But I will say I didn't spend a lot of time with people. Maybe they actively dislike me. Probably. I probably said or did something that maybe I've got bad breath. Who knows? But yeah, maybe that's what occurred. But yeah, it'll be nice next year. I think I'll definitely have somebody with me next year. I think I can convince at least one person to join me, because it's just been so incredible. And yeah, absolutely. Let's just do that. Let's just do that all the time. Let's just do that. But yeah, so yeah, it was really good, and definitely worthwhile the whole event and doing the whole thing and getting to know people a little bit and having talks with the guys who run it as well. Like they love it. They love what they're doing as much as the people coming to to watch the films do, you know, and there's, you know, everyone reacts. There's always a laughter, or there's always an emotional response to these films, whether they've seen them a million times, whether they've never seen them. It was a wonderful event. So again, can't speak highly enough about it, but Starship Troopers. So I love it. I absolutely love it. It's got the acting's dead cheesy and over the top, but you buy into it because you do end up being a bit of a rah-rah, let's kill them all and let God sort them out, kind of the jingoism. You buy into it. Obviously, it is they live in a fascist world. It's run by, like, straight away they go, we are run by a fascist, you know, government. This is, we established fascism. And again, there's the kind of racial and sexual equality within this fascist regime as well, which is fascinating as well. I'd love to know what the basis behind that is and why. And again, like, all these very white people, you know, having, you know, Latin names and being very white. I'd love to dig into the kind of the lore a bit more of what happened, like the beginnings of that, to get to where we are in Starship Troopers. Like, you know, where, what happens there? And again, this is obvious. There's a lot of aliens in here as well, like the Colonial Marines and the Mobile Infantry. There's a lot, you know, it's quite similar. There's a lot of similar characters, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of threads from Aliens in this. Like, they borrow heavily, or did it borrow heavily from the original Starship Troopers novel? I don't know. I believe so, but I couldn't say for sure. But there is that, and I like it. I think the characters are fun. There's a lot of humor to it. Obviously, it's a satire anyway. Would you like to know more? You know, all that is fantastic. All of those, again, it's like the adverts in Robocop or the newscasters, you know, some of the best bits in the film. But yeah, I buy into it. I buy into these young people trying to do what they think is right. They want to be citizens, and that's the only way they can get to votes and to do what they want, basically do anything with their lives, is after military service. They are forced, really, if you don't have a lot of money, you're forced to do military service and serve and, you know, and have those rights and do those things, you know. And Johnny Rico, the main character, he's got wealthy parents, but he doesn't feel like he's fulfilled his, you know, duty unless he goes to serve in, you know, Klandathu or Planet P or whatever. All the young actors, I think, are great. They know the assignment. You know, there's a twinkle in their eye. They know it. There's a wry smile. They know exactly the kind of story they're telling. But obviously, these characters are real, and they have to play it real and serious and emotional. You know, Casper Van Dien is great, I think. Sorry, if you heard a electric screwdriver, that was somebody else in the building, so apologies for that. But yeah, really, really fun, really great kind of set of characters and interesting. Just it's brilliant. I don't need to tell you about Starship Troopers. Everybody knows how good it is and how fun it is. I saw a YouTube video not so long ago, and it was like how Starship Troopers, how to make fascism look sexy, which always makes me laugh, because it does. Like, they're wearing Gestapo uniforms, are all in grey. They've got the same, you know, there's like Paul Verhoeven grew up in occupied fucking Holland, I believe, or wherever he's from. And you know, he was like, oh, this is jingoistic, you know, fascist propaganda, or it comes across that way. So he went, right, let's lean into that. This is also distributed by Disney. I've been looking into live action Disney movies, because we're going to do them for Disney discussions quite soon. I want to do underrated ones. And while I was looking up, I was like, oh, right, Starship Troopers distributed by Disney. And I was like, okay, interesting. Interesting choice for a company to distribute the film. Maybe Maybe Paul Verhoeven knew what he was doing there. He's like, hey, you want to distribute this? Oh, well, but there you have it. So, yeah, and I couldn't think of a better way to just absolutely. And this one was rammed as well. This is another screen. It's absolutely rammed. Again, people can buy on the door. They can buy solo tickets. They can buy day tickets, weekend tickets, you name it. And again, and they've said that the festival will be back, so it's clearly done what it needed to do, and it sold as many tickets as it needed to do to get, you know, I believe the full passes were all sold. I think, yeah, the pass I bought sold out, the early bird full event pass sold out. Then they had weekend tickets and single screenings. But yeah, there was a lot of those screenings. They weren't quite sold out, I will say. But they pretty much were. Like, there was only like, I wouldn't say there was many seats. Like, I always went in late, so I always had to sit near the front because nobody wants to sit near the front in these IMAX screens. But it didn't bother me. It didn't hurt my neck or anything. If anything, I feel like I'm in the movie and I'm inside these bugs. But yeah, what a wonderful cast for, you know, Clancy Brown, you know, and everybody else. There's a load of character actors in there. Wonderful. It blows me away the kind of lineup of good quality actors in there that they've got. And again, some of them not so much, but they pile on the cheese. And again, by the end, you're like, absolutely know what this is. Like there's so many layers to it, so many levels to it. You can enjoy it as an action film. You don't have to go that deep into the politics of it, or, you know, or the military stuff, but there's fun to be had. The violence is quite funny as well. People are just getting chopped to pieces. And, you know, there's a lot of fun. There's, again, I think the Starship Troopers doesn't have any kind of sexualized, you know, men or female kind of characters in that, and we talk about that on the recent Disney discussions as well. But yeah, it's a wonderful film. But yeah, I think they chose the right film to close out the festival. Everyone just was blown away. Everyone was having a good time, and again, laughing at all these moments, and like where the brain bug gets, who, you know, is clearly designed to be like a maggot vagina. You know, he just, you know, gets rammed with these big screws and stuff, clearly knows what he's doing. I love Verhoeven. Even his worst films, I would probably watch again. Basic Instinct is a banger. Showgirls, I really enjoy, because I think that might, I mean, it's that bad that it might just be a satire on the whole sex industry, maybe. I don't know if I'm in that camp or not. I'm still unsure, but I do enjoy it on a kind of a bad film night. A few years ago, my friends and I, we used to do like erotic thrillers or movies with a lot of nudity in, or famously had a lot of nudity in or was sexual, you know, erotic thrillers or erotic films. So we called it Titty Easter. We did it every Easter for like a few years, well, like 2 or 3 years. Yeah, we used to really enjoy it. We used to have an absolute laugh. We watched like Barbed Wire. We watched like Basic Instinct. We watched Showgirls, obviously. All of those type of films where it's like pretty much like just, you know, full on nudity for stuff. So, you know, Robocop's one of my favorite films of all time. So I'm always going to be. And I think what I love about Paul Verhoeven is he knows what America is. He knows what America is about. And because he's European, he's able to go, this is America, and I'm going to take the piss out of America while also making money off America and also doing it while they don't actually know what I'm doing. He didn't really like the way the Hollywood system works, and he moved away, and he's done, I think he did Benedetta, which was the nunsploitation film. He's done things like Black Book and other stuff. But I really do miss him in Hollywood, because he always gave us really interesting films, like really interesting, something to chew on and think about. You know, even Showgirls has enough stuff for you to, you know, think about, and the way that world works, and, you know, having to step on people to get to the top. you know, there is, you know, yeah. Is it great? No. Is it good? It's quite fun. It's fun. But yeah, that is me, guys. Thank you again. Again, this is Patreon exclusive. We've got lots of good stuff coming up. I'm gonna finally do that fucking Shaft comic I've been meaning to do. That was awesome. But I'm gonna tell you about that in another podcast. But yeah, thank you again. Appreciate your patience again. Thank you all of you, including Math, who I forgot several times again. Very sorry, Math, but it won't happen again. But yeah, wonderful, wonderful event. Hopefully I'll go next year. I'm gonna look and see maybe if I can get a press pass next year if they want some more press, because I would be there in a minute. I would quite happily do that. Also, hopefully would save me a bit of money as well, because money is always fucking tight with me because I'm shit at finances. So yeah, so just do what you're doing. We've got World War II month coming up. I'm starting the prep for that. You'll have more podcasts coming out. We've got the Goofy Movie one. We've got Visitor Q one coming out. Check those out if you can find them. Goofy Movie's on Disney Plus, so you can go there. Visitor Q is probably, I should have taken that DVD with me and I could have burnt it or ripped it maybe, but there you have it. I didn't do it. I watched it at Mike's with Megan, and Megan almost cried. So we've got a lot to talk about, and it is weird. So Megan wasn't necessarily 100% a fan of that film. It's going to be an interesting podcast, to say the least, when we do that in the next few weeks. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up. I'm on a roll a bit more now this year, so hopefully I can keep the momentum going. But yeah, thanks again, guys. This is all for you. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. I highly recommend the festival. If you want to go, let me know. I see if I can meet you there, even if you're going for, you know, the weekend or maybe a day or whatever. Let me know, because I'd be more than happy to kind of show you around or make sure you know exactly where to go and what to do. I was in the Ibis Hotel, which is very nearby. It's a 3-star hotel. Highly recommend. Really, really good. Breakfasts are amazing as well. I paid for those. I got there and I was like, fuck, I didn't pay for the breakfast. Now I want the breakfast. So yeah, really nice hotel. Staff are lovely. You know, no trouble. It was a one bedroom, but it was a lovely one bedroom. The bed was nice. Shower, bathroom's good. It's all good. So if you do ever go, and it is still at the Bristol Aquarium, get that Ibis that's not very far. It's about 5-minute walk. Not even that, three minutes. And then you can get straight in there in the cinema, and you know, jobs are good. But yeah, thanks again, guys. And as always, prepare for Pratt.